Why this one tree was cursed. The leafless trees raised no expectation and caused no disappointment. These represented the Gentiles, who were as destitute as the Jews of godliness, but they made no boastful pretensions to goodness. With them the time of figs was not yet. They were still waiting for light and hope. The Jews, who had received greater blessings from God, were held accountable for their abuse of these gifts. The privileges of which they boasted only increased their guilt. Jesus had come to Israel, hungering to find in them the fruits of righteousness. Every privilege had been granted them, and in return he longed to see in them self-sacrifice, compassion, and a deep yearning for the salvation of their fellow men. But love to God and man was eclipsed by pride and self-sufficiency. The treasures of truth which God had committed to them, they did not give to the world. In the barren tree they might read both their sin and its punishment. Withered, dried up by the roots, the fig tree showed what the Jewish people would be when the grace of God was removed from them. Refusing to impart blessing, they would no longer receive it. O Israel, the Lord says, thou hast destroyed thyself. Christ's act in cursing the tree which his own power had created stands as a warning to all churches and all Christians. There are many who do not live out Christ's merciful, unselfish life. Time is of value to them only as they can gather for themselves. In all the affairs of life, this is their object. God designed them to help their fellow men in every possible way. But self is so large that they cannot see anything else. Those who thus live for self are like the fig tree. They observe the forms of worship without repentance or faith. In profession they honor the law of God, but obedience is lacking. In the sentence pronounced on the fig tree, Christ declares that the open sinner is less guilty than he who professes to serve God but bears no fruit to his glory. The parable of the fig tree, spoken before Christ's visit to Jerusalem, had a direct connection with the lesson he taught in cursing the fruitless tree. For the barren tree of the parable the gardener pleaded, "Let it alone, sir, this year also, till I dig about it and put on manure. And if it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down," RSV. It was to have every advantage. In the parable, the result of the gardener's work was not foretold, it depended on that people to whom Christ's words were spoken, represented by the fruitless tree. It rested with them to decide their own destiny. Every advantage was given them, but they did not profit by their increased blessings. By Christ's act in cursing the barren fig tree, the result was shown. They had determined their own destruction. For more than 1,000 years the Jewish nation had rejected God's warnings and slain his prophets. For these sins the people of Christ's day made themselves responsible by following the same course. The fetters which the nations had for centuries been forging, the people of Christ's day were fastening on themselves. There comes a time when mercy makes her last plea. Then the sweet, winning voice of the Spirit entreats the sinner no longer. That day had come to Jerusalem. Jesus wept in anguish over the doomed city, but could not deliver her. He had exhausted every resource. In rejecting the warnings of God's Spirit, Israel had rejected the only means of help. The Jewish nation was a symbol of the people of all ages who scorn the pleadings of infinite love. The tears of Christ when he wept over Jerusalem were for the sins of all time. In this generation many are treading the same ground as the unbelieving Jews. The Holy Spirit has spoken to their hearts, but they are not willing to confess their errors. They reject God's message and his messenger. Today Bible truth, the religion of Christ, struggles against a strong current of moral impurity. Prejudice is stronger now than in Christ's day. The truth of God's word does not harmonize with men's natural inclination, and thousands reject its light and choose their independent judgment. But they do it at the peril of their souls. Those who caviled at the words of Christ found ever-increasing cause for cavil, until they turned from the truth and the life. God does not propose to remove every objection which the carnal heart may bring against his truth. To those who refuse light which would illuminate the darkness, the mysteries of God's word remain such forever. From them the truth is hidden. Christ's words are applicable to every soul who slights the pleadings of divine mercy. Christ is shedding bitter tears for you, who have no tears to shed for yourself. And every evidence of the grace of God, every ray of divine light, is either melting and subduing the soul, or confirming it in hopeless impenitence. Christ foresaw that Jerusalem would remain impenitent, yet all the guilt lay at her own door. Thus it will be with every soul who follows the same course. The Lord declares, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it.